Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
In 1993, a movie starring Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, and Chris Elliott was released, entitled Groundhog Day. Many of you would have seen this movie at some point, but in a nutshell, it's about weatherman Phil Connors. And Phil Connors goes to this little town in Pennsylvania to cover Groundhog Day. Doesn't want to be there. Openly talks about how he doesn't like the people. He's frustrated and just wants to get out of the town. So he gets the job done, but on the way out, he realizes there's a storm and they won't let anyone out. And so he has to stay there for the evening. He wakes up the next morning and realizes that, hang on, something's a bit weird here. It's the same song playing. It's the same radio presenter saying the same thing. He starts to bump into the same people. The next day he wakes up and it's the exact same thing. It's the radio presenter going, "It's Groundhog Day," with the same song playing. "I got you, babe," playing along there. And he starts to realize, hang on, he's waking up at the same day every single day. And he starts waking up every day, day in and day out, on the same day. You know, as I thought about it this week, I started to realize that many Christians are like that. We're waking up day in and day out, and we're repeating the same cycle, having the same challenges, going through the same issues, reminiscing about the same past with the same hurts and the same wounds, regretting the same missed opportunities, and we end up getting stuck on the same place day after day after day, but God wants us to move forward. God doesn't want us to get stuck in the same day, day in and day out. You see, God has given you and I the gift of choice, and we can exercise choice. And the fact that we have choice means you can change your tomorrow. The fact that you woke up today means that you can make a new today. Your today doesn't have to look like your yesterday. Your tomorrow doesn't have to look like your today. You and I have the power in God to change what our story looks like going forward. You see, I don't want people to say of me 3 months, 6 months, 12 months down the line, "You know, Chase is exactly the same. He still talks about the same problems. He still has the same challenges. He's still stuck in the same issues." No, I want to be able to move forward, that even if it's just a little step, people are able to say, "I can see he's grown. I can see he's moved forward. I can see he's learned in life." I never want it to be said of me, "He's in the same place all the time." Because then we become like those people. Those people you know when you see them. And when you see them walking around and you can see they're coming towards you, immediately your heart just goes, "Oh." Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to come and talk to you about the same things, complaining about the same issues, going through the same problems, and you just can't handle it. So the one side of you is feeling very Christian and you're just going, "I just want to love this person. I really need to help this person." But the other side of you just wants to scream, "Move on already. She left you 19 years ago. I don't want to hear it anymore." Am I right? God doesn't want us to get stuck in the same place over and over and over again. God wants us to move forward. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is giving his farewell speeches and he's about to pass on. In fact, in this speech, in this moment, he's a month away from passing on. And he starts to reminisce by reminding the Israelites of what God has done, what God has said, and what they need to do going forward. And this is what he reminds them of, which took place. In Deuteronomy 1, he says this: "The Lord our God said to us in Horeb," where Mount Sinai was, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland, in the Negeb, by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you." Notice that God's got a promise for you. "Go in, take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and their offspring after them." In a nutshell, what God was saying to the Israelites is, "Hey, you're staying at the same mountain for way too long. You're camping in the same mountain. It's time for you to move forward. I've got a promise in store for you, but if you keep camping out at the same mountain, you're never going to get to the promised land." And some of us, what we do is we camp out at the same mountain, and God's word for us is, it's time to move forward. But I love the next line. He says, you've stayed too long at this mountain. It's time to turn and take the journey and go to the hill country. See, because that's the thing with God. God never takes us from a place and takes us lower. He always takes us from a place and takes us higher. God doesn't want to take you where you are right now in your marriage and bring it down. God doesn't want to take your financial situation and bring it down. God doesn't want to take your emotional state and bring it down. Whenever God calls you to step out, it's to step out to a higher place. And we need to be willing to step out so that God can take us to a higher place. I want to encourage you, when you step out and get into serving, it's to take you to a higher place. As Chris encouraged us, when we step out and we give, it's to take us to a higher place. When we step out and worship, it's to take us to a higher place. So what mountain are you stuck at this evening where God is saying to you, it's done. It's time to turn around and take a new journey forward. You know, there's a saying that we often say of people who are stuck in the same place constantly. It's time to turn the page. So the title of the message this evening is very simply, it's time to turn the page. It's time to turn the page. You know, some of us have been reading the same page week in and week out of our lives. We're stuck in the same chapter, reading the same page. And how many of you know, if you keep reading the same page, you're never going to find out the rest of the story? In fact, if you keep reading the same page, there is no rest of the story because you're stuck in the same page. It's kind of like this. Our life is kind of like a book, and we get stuck reading the same page of pain and hurt and difficulties and stuff that we've gone through, and we keep reading the page, and you know what we inevitably do when we do that? We put a bookmark there, lest we forget. And we leave the bookmark there, and what inevitably happens is we wake up the next morning and we go exactly where we left the bookmark. And we start reading the same page again. Remember what she did to me. Remember what he did to me. Remember that opportunity that I lost. Remember the failures that I had. Remember, oh, I can't forget. And so we put a bookmark again. Then we get stuck on the same page day in, day out, day in, day out. And God's saying, you got to get rid of the bookmark. You got to get rid of the bookmark and allow God to write the rest of your story. Because what the page that you're reading right now, it's done. It's over. It's written. The chapters behind are done. There's nothing you and I can do about it. But in the hands of God, he can be the author who can write the rest of your story. Your story is not brokenness. Your story is not divorce. Your story is not rejection. Your story is not failure. Your story is not what people have spoken over you. Your story is not your past. Your story is what God says your story will be. As long as you step out and allow God to write the story of your life. So how are you going to turn the page today so that God can write the rest of your story? What we're going to look at this evening is some areas where we need to turn the page on in our lives. And God wants us to turn a page on different areas of our lives, and I pray that these areas speak to you tonight. The first area that we need to turn the page on is this: hurt and pain. Hurt and pain. Now, I want to start by saying this. I don't pretend to know what you've gone through. I don't pretend to know that the pain you're feeling right now. I don't pretend to understand the different dynamics of your life and what you're facing. I don't pretend to know that. For some of you, if I heard some of the pain you've been through, my jaw would drop and I'd just sit gasping going, it's by God's grace that you're even in church today and what he's done in your life. So I don't pretend to know that. But what I do know is that as long as we keep camping in the same mountain of pain, we can never move forward for God to do something. And some of you today, you've been backstabbed by someone. You've lost trust in someone because they've done something to you. Maybe your husband or your wife has spoken something in your life or done something. Maybe it's been someone who's abused you. Maybe it's been someone who said something about you, who's spoken something over you. Maybe it's been your parents and your pastor, whatever it may be. But as long as you keep camping at that same mountain, you will never stand on top of the mountain. And God's will for our lives is not that we'd wake up every day and look to how big the mountain is, but to stand on top of the mountain, to conquer the mountain and realize how big God is, so that we can look down and go, I was once there, but by God's grace, I have now conquered that which I once looked at going, I can't do this. God doesn't want you to look up at a mountain. He wants you to stand on top of it, conquering the mountain. The fact that you're breathing today and you're sitting in church means there's a new opportunity for you. See, because Lamentations reminds me that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Today, when you woke up, God has given you new strength, new grace, new mercy, new opportunity, a new lease on life to be able to go, I'm not going to live like yesterday. I want God to write a new story for my life. I want God to write a new chapter, and I'm tired of this page. I'm tired of waking up and seeing this mountain. It's time to turn and let God take me to where the promised land is. You know, we often say of people who keep saying the same thing and complaining about the same thing over and over again, we say they're singing the same tune. It's the same tune over and over. But I want to remind you what Psalm 40 says. It says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. But if we're still busy singing the old song, God can't give you a new song. If we're still busy singing, oh, what they did to me, that person did to me, and what the missed opportunity that I had, and in my past, and my schooling, and this. If we keep singing that song, God can't put a new song in our lives. God can't put a new song that we can sing, a song of praise to what God has done over our lives. Most of you would have heard this saying before. Hurt people, hurt people. See, here's the thing. Hurt people, but healed people help people. And see, God wants to take you out of a place of hurt into a place of healing. Because when you're in a place of healing, you can begin to help people. When you're in a place of healing, you can become a testimony to other people who once saw you at the bottom of the mountain and can't believe you've now conquered the mountain and go, how did you get there? What happened? By God's grace, this is my story. Let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you how God took me on top of the mountain. Let me tell you. See, God wants to heal you so you can be someone who helps other people. But you know what I've discovered? Is that too many people get comfortable in their place of pain because they know it. And then those that are hurting start to criticize those who have moved on from the mountain and are healed. Have you ever had people like that before? You've moved on, you find healing in God, and people start reminding, did you forget what that girl did to you? Did you forget what he did to you? Did you forget what your family did to you? What do you mean you're going to go spend time with them? Did you forget how they walked out on you? Did you forget how they rejected you? Did you forget how your boss spoke to you? Did you forget how they treated you at that company? No, I didn't forget. How could I forget? It was painful. It caused me immense pain day after day. But friend, I can't keep sitting at the same mountain day in and day out. For my sake, I need to forgive. I need to let go. Because God wants to use me as a vessel to help other people. And if I keep being hurt, I'll never be healed. And as long as I'm never healed, I'm never able to help people. Where does God need to heal you this evening? Where do you need to yield to God? The truth in your notes tonight, what you don't allow God to heal, you will use to hurt people. What you don't allow God to heal, you will use to hurt people. And what I mean by that very simply is that whenever we don't allow God to heal something, we start to project that hurt onto other people. So you were hurt in a previous relationship and you're broken and something inside that you haven't dealt with and you don't allow God to heal it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go into a new relationship and you're going to start putting that hurt onto that person. And then that's not dealt with, so we get more hurt and then we start hurting another person. See, if we don't deal with the hurt, we use that hurt to hurt other people, often without even knowing it. And then we wonder, why does no one want to hang around me? Why does anyone want to be near me? What's going on? Well, you keep hurting people because you've never dealt with the hurt in your own life. You see, when you're hurt, you hurt people, but when you're healed, you help people. Many of you will know Dr. Sam Chan. In fact, he was actually here last year this weekend, and a great friend of Rivers Church and our senior pastors. And he used an illustration once, which I'd like to borrow for this evening. He said, you know, if you want to know where someone's traveling, where they're going on holiday, you simply look at their baggage. So I open your baggage and I see, well, you've got shorts, you've got a vest, you've got sunscreen, you've got flip-flops, you've got caps. I can pretty much surmise you're not going anywhere around Alaska or so forth. You're pretty much going somewhere like Durban or you're going to Mauritius. You're going to a beach holiday to relax, am I right? Because your baggage will tell me where you're traveling to. You see, your baggage that you carry in life will tell me who you're going to be and where you're going at the next season of your life. if you want to know where your marriage is going to be in a month's time or a year's time, ask yourself and look at the baggage that you're carrying. If you want to know where you're going to be as a Christian in the next year's time, look at the baggage you're carrying. If you want to know what type of friend you're going to be in a year's time, look at the baggage you're carrying. And I can guarantee you this, you will never be a great friend if you're too busy carrying brokenness, unforgiveness, anger, frustration. If you're carrying that, don't expect to be in a year's time a great friend, a great husband, a great wife, a great Christian, because the baggage you're carrying is not taking you to that place. The baggage you're carrying you is taking you to exactly where you're going to end up. So what baggage are you carrying tonight? And what we often end up doing is we take the baggage and we start unpacking it to every person. And because they can't handle it, we shove it all back in with more baggage. And we just keep carrying it to new people, to new relationships, until there's just this massive bag that we're carrying around. I want to encourage you, unpack your baggage to God. Come before God in your prayer time, in your quiet time, in church, when we pray for people up front, just come up front and, God, I've got baggage, I'm hurting, there's unforgiveness, there's anger in my heart. God, deal with my baggage. Because what God does is He takes that baggage away, but He fills your baggage with new baggage. Hope, faith, love, patience. He starts to fill the luggage that you need to enter the next season of life. So what are you carrying into your next season today? Because if you can open your baggage and unpack it before God, you'll watch, He'll fill something else in your life so that you can step forward and turn a page in your life. You being helped tonight? The second area that we need to turn the page on is bad habits. And a subtle fell over the crowd. Bad habits. We all have bad habits of some sort. Here's the thing about bad habits. Bad habits will make us or they'll break us. But either way, they'll shape us. So the habits that we have are either making us, they're breaking us, but whatever they're doing, they're shaping us as a person. So what habits do you have in your life tonight? What habits are there that you've developed in your marriage? What habits are there that you've developed as a Christian? Habits of making sure that no matter what comes in my weekend, I'm in church on a Sunday evening. I'm praising, I'm worshiping. God comes first in my life. See, those are the habits we need to put in our lives. But most people, when I say bad habits, immediately our mind goes to, we go, okay, bad habits. He's talking about like drugs and people getting drunk and so forth. That's the bad habits. Listen, there are an array of bad habits that we have to deal with. You might be in the bad habit of always demeaning someone and putting people down. You might be in the bad habit of discouraging your husband or your wife constantly. You might be in the bad habit of being too lazy. You might be in the bad habit of never getting back to people. I can think of some companies like that. Listen, you might be in the bad habit of accidentally after work slipping and falling into Krispy Kremes and buying a Krispy Kreme. Every day after work, it's accidental on you. Go grab that beautiful custard Krispy Kreme there, and it's just fresh out of the oven, and you're just like, how many of you know that's a bad habit that can cost your health and can cost your finances? See, bad habits are not just the big things that we think of. Bad habits are what many of us have in different areas of our lives. You can have a bad habit of arriving late to different areas and different spaces, your family, church, whatever it may be. We can be in a bad habit of that. See, either way, our habits will shape us in whatever we, if whether they make us or break us, our habits are going to shape us. Here's the thing. The person you will be in 5 years' time, the person you hope to be in 5 years' time, you won't be. You won't be the person you hope to be in 5 years' time. You're like, man, that's so encouraging. Thanks for that. I was really hoping I'm going to be a better husband, better wife. You won't be that person you hope to be. You'll be the person that you intentionally discipline yourself to do each day. So if you're hoping to be a better Christian, but you're not doing anything, you're not going to be a better Christian. If you're hoping to be a better husband, and you have this idea of what a husband should be like, and you want to be that husband, but you're not doing actively things on the ground, you're not going to be that husband. Because what we do, we become. But what we hope for, we will hope for in the next 5 years, and in the next 5 years, and in the next 5 years. We'll keep hoping. So let's not hope to be someone. Let's instill habits to be someone. Andy Stanley, who's the senior pastor of North Point Community Church, he says, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. What are you disciplining and prioritizing in your life so that you will intentionally get to the place that you want to be? Who do you want to be in 2 years' time or a year's time? The person you want to be in a year's time is determined by the habits you start now. The habits you instill so that you can turn a page to the next chapter in your life. The third area that we need to turn the page on is the should-haves, the could-haves, and the might-haves. We have to turn the page on the should-haves, the could-haves, and the might-haves. Many of us have said these phrases before. I should have done that. I could have done that. If only I might have done that. And here's the thing, it's not a bad thing to say those things. In fact, it's a very good thing to say, I should have done this. I could have done this. I might have done this better if I had done this. Because it's reflection. It means that we're actually taking cognizance of the actions that we've done and gone, hang on, I need to change what I'm doing here. How am I going to do this better going forward? The problem is not reflecting on those statements. The problem is living at the mountain of those statements. And too many Christians are camped at the mountain of, I could have done this better. I could have done this. If only I had done this. I might have done this. I should have done this. And we keep, much like the Israelites, we keep walking around. I should have. I should have. I should have. I could have. I could have. I could have. I might have. I might have. I might have. But that story is already written. Should you have done that? Yes. Could you have done that? Yes. Might you have done something different? Yes. Can you change that story now? No, you can't change that, but you can change the story going forward. See, we want to change the backstory. God says, it's done, it's over, it's forgiven. You can't, if you read it more and more and more, it's not going to change. It's not suddenly going to be different, but you can change your story going forward. You can have a new chapter. Your book, life title, can be a new title if you leave it to God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that looking unto Jesus, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love those words because it says to me that God writes my story, and when I yield my life to Him, God finishes my story. And I'd rather have God write my story and God finish my story than anyone else, including me, telling me the story. If God writes it and God finishes, you know it's going to be a good story. So have you allowed God to write the passages and the chapters and the pages of your story? Maybe today it's time to let go and say, God, you write the story. I'm done trying to write the story. I'm stuck on the same page. Be the finisher and the author of my faith. And the fourth place that we need to turn the page on is toxic people. Not a good time to look at the left and the right. Toxic people. See, because 1 Corinthians says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, for some of you, there are toxic people in your life that it's time to cut ties with them. It's time to go, you know what? This person is abusive. This person is manipulative. This person degrades me constantly. This person keeps pulling me down. This person keeps taking me down to the bottom of the mountain when I'm trying to get out of the bottom of the mountain. Those are toxic people in our lives. The Bible speaks strongly about toxic people because toxic people have an influence in our world and in our spiritual walk. And we need to learn to cut ties with toxic people. Because toxic people will affect our faith, affect our marriage, affect our career, affect our financial position, affect our bodies. So which toxic people do you need to go, you know what? Enough is enough. I need to start letting go because this is actually costing me. And can I encourage you with something? I saw this quote a while ago on Instagram. I forget who said it, but it's quite important. Pay attention to those who don't clap when you succeed. Some of you have got people in your life that as you start moving on top of the mountain, they're not clapping, they're pulling you back down. Because, man, they don't want to see you succeed if they're not succeeding because they're still stuck at the bottom of the mountain. I don't want people like that in my life. I want people in my life who might be themselves stuck in a place, but every time I take a step forward, they're going, come on, you can do this. I might not be where you are, but I'm applauding you. I can see what God's doing in your life. I'm celebrating your victories. That's the people that we need in our lives. You need people in your life who will celebrate you and celebrate your victories. So the four areas that we need to turn the page on. So how do we turn the page? Because it's all very well that we know, okay, I need to turn the page on this, but how do I do that? Three ways. Number one, you need to make 1 cent decisions daily. You need to make 1 cent decisions daily. assume this evening that this bag had 3 million rand cash. And I said to you, I'll give this to you. No strings attached, tax-free. Take it home, do what you want. You can pay off a house, you can buy a house, pay off a car, you can bless someone, whatever you want. 3 million rand cash. But I've got another option for you. I'll give you 1 cent. But what I'll do is I'll double your 1 cent every day for 31 days. Let's be real for a moment. Most of you would run down and say, thank you for that cash. I'm going to the bank. There we go. If you were that person, you would have made the wrong decision. Because 1 cent doubled in value over 31 days becomes 21.4 million rand. If you don't believe me, do the maths on your calculator. 21.4 million rand if you just have the patience with 1 cent doubled every single day. And here's the thing, at 10 days, it looks like you made the bad decision because at 10 days, it's literally only about 10 rand. At 20 days, it still looks like you made the wrong decision because at 20 days, it's about 10,500 rand. But in those last 11 days, as it starts to double, suddenly on day 31, you're sitting on 21.4 million rand. How do you turn the page, church? You make a 1 cent decision every day. See, we're all waiting for the 21 million rand decision. My marriage needs to change. Well, I'm going to make a 21 million rand decision. Everything's going to suddenly change. My life, my company, my emotions. I'm waiting for my big 21 million rand break. But you forget that 21 million rand is made up of millions of 1 cents that eventually add up to 21 million rand. So how do you turn the page? Make a 1 cent decision to forgive. And when you wake up tomorrow, you're not going to feel any better, but you're going to make a 1 cent decision to forgive. And when you wake up on day 2 or day 3, you're not going to feel any better, but you're going to make a 1 cent decision to forgive. Because one day you're going to be standing in church and your arms are going to be raised and you're going to be worshiping to God and you're going to be singing a new song and you're going to be reminded of how a year ago you made a decision that from today, I'm going to start forgiving people. And then you stand free, you stand with joy, you stand with peace in your heart, not because of a 21 million rand decision, but because of a 1 cent decision. How do you change your marriage? A 1 cent decision. Husbands, take your wives out for dinner. Ladies, that was a good opportunity right there to say, a really good opportunity. Just take her out once for dinner. Tell her how beautiful she looks. And then tell her again the next day. And then love her the next day. You'll find suddenly your marriage is valued at 21 million rand and you're going, where did all this joy come from? This is amazing. But every day you just made a 1 cent decision. How do you look like a men's health cover model? Ask Pastor Dev. You make a 1 cent decision. You see, if you look at the enormity of the mountain and you go, but I'm this many kilograms overweight and I'm eating this much and I'm never going to get there. Well, how you get there is just to make a 1 cent decision to go to gym once. And then the next day you make a 1 cent decision to go to gym once. And then the next day you put one Krispy Kreme away. And the next day you put one less sugar in your coffee. And the next day you have one less coffee. And the next day, before you know it, you're looking in the mirror and you go, how did I get a 21 million rand body? And then everyone's looking at you and going, you're so gifted genetically. Are you kidding me? I made a 1 cent decision day in and day out. And eventually I got to that point. So what 1 cent decision do you have to make today? How do you get over hurt? You make a 1 cent decision. How do you grow in your relationship with God? Make a 1 cent decision. I'm going to start reading one psalm today. I'm going to start serving today. But there's so many just a 1 cent decision. How do I start growing? Well, if I just give once today, and then I give once the next week, and as I give, I start to realize that God is doing something that's a 21 million rand thing in my life, but it started with a 1 cent decision. So what 1 cent decision do you need to make today? Don't look at the size of the mountain. Look at the one step you need to take to get to the top of the mountain. Because how do you climb a mountain? One step at a time. Why do we think that's so obvious when it comes to a mountain, but not in our lives? We want to get to the top immediately. God says, just take 1 step. Just take 1 step. And as you take 1 step, before you know it, you'll be looking and going, I'm on top. How'd I get you? By God's grace and by your 1 cent decision. Second way that we turn the page is to know your value. The only way you're going to turn a page in life is to know your value. I think a lot of people get stuck at the foot of the mountain because they don't know their value. So they go, well, I guess this is just my lot in life. I guess this is just what's going to happen. I've messed up so much, so I guess this is where I'm meant to be. Why would God want to bless me? I just have to deal. I'm so glad I'm alive and I'm saved. I can't ask God for more. Have you seen my past? Have you seen what I've done? Have you seen how people have hurt me? Have you seen I've been rejected? I can't ask God for, but you don't know your value. You see, God blesses us because of his character and our value. God loves you because you are a son and daughter of God. You have value and you hold weight in the kingdom because God breathed life into you. So many of you would have seen these little guys around the store. These guys are called Funko Pops. And they say there's over 8,000 different Funko Pops that you can collect. And so I started collecting them now. I enjoy the little characters and so forth. I'm going to build a nice box collection and so forth. It's just the inner child coming out. So you get soccer players, you get actors, you get the whole thing. Anyway, about 9 years ago, one of the guys in youth ministry gave me my first Funko Pop, King Leonidas from 300. For those of you that don't know, I love 300. I love the Warriors. I love that, the whole. So this guy was great. So he said to me, Pastor Chase, I wanted to give this to you because I know you love 300. And so I was like, oh man, that's awesome. King Leonidas in this little thing here. That's great. So I popped him on my table at work, and right on the table as you walked in, there was King Leonidas standing guard there, my little Spartan warrior. But over time, I started to move offices. And so he got packed in a box. And then I moved down to Durban for 2.5, 3 years. And knowing I was probably coming back up, there was a lot of boxes that were still in Joburg. And somehow he got to the bottom of the box, somewhere in a corner, with a whole lot of stuff piled upon him. And I didn't know where he was. Anyway, so I started collecting these guys, and I was chatting to one of my friends who has like 30 or 40 of these little Funko Pops, and I was like, oh, that's so cool, what's your collection like, and so forth, and I said, well, I actually started with one of these as well. I don't know where he is right now, he's lost, but I'm going to restart all over again, so it's fine, I'll just go buy him, and it's King Leonidas. So I took a photo off the internet, and I said, look, it's King Leonidas, and his WhatsApp literally came back with like, what, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. So I was like, yeah, I can't find him, King Leonidas. He's like, do you know who you've got? I said, yeah, I know, I told you, King Leonidas from 300. I know who I had because I don't know where he is right now. He said, Chase, you need to realize something. Number one, my entire collection is not valued as much as that single King Leonidas that you've got there. So I'm like, okay. He says, those aren't in production anymore. He said, your little King Leonidas is now valued between $400 and $500. If you go to a shop, they're like $250. So I'm like, now I'm listening. And then I went on to eBay, and people are selling this guy for 15,000 Rand. I put the phone down. I went straight to my room. I was like, where's that box? Let me find that King Leonidas right now. Listen, I searched at the bottom, and eventually I found him. And here's the thing, just because he had been discarded, just because he had been thrown, just because he had been tossed, just because stuff had been placed upon him, he didn't reduce his value in any way. He's still valuable despite what I did to him. And that's a word for some of you today. Some of you have been rejected. You've been broken. You've been hurt. People have spoken things over you. You've been discarded. People have said things about you, but you have not lost your value. You still have a purpose, you are still valuable, and just because you find yourself under everyone else's speak over your life, it doesn't change your value in God's eyes. Because the Bible reminds me in 1 Peter that you and I are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Come on, friend. You are a king and a queen in the kingdom of God. And just because someone has tossed you, you have not lost your value. And there's going to come a day when someone will go, whew, this person, there's something about them. There's something special. And people will look back and go, why did I do that? You're valuable. You have purpose. Just because someone has said something over you or rejected you, have not lost your value in God. Allow God to treat you as the king and the queen that you are and take you to the hill country from the mountain that you find yourself at the bottom of so that you can conquer it in Jesus' name. A truth in your notes this evening. When you realize your value, you won't settle for the foot of the mountain. When you realize your value, you won't settle for the foot of the mountain. The only reason why you settle at the bottom is because you think you deserve the bottom. But if you know your value, you'll say, I'm done with the bottom. Started from the bottom, but now I'm here. Number three. The third way we turn the page is we need to get up and move forward. We need to get up and move forward. I once again refer to the fact that I don't think I know what pain you are going through and the stuff that you're hanging on to. So when I say get up and move forward, notice that I did not say get up and get over it. I say get up and move forward. It's not easy to get over some stuff. It's not easy to get over someone who cheated on you. It's not easy to get over someone who betrayed you, who broke your trust. It's not easy just to get over it, but you have to get up and start moving forward. You see, because in the book of Exodus, the Israelites are caught between the Red Sea and the Egyptians. And they start complaining to Moses, saying, you should have left us in Egypt. Why are we here? Why did you drag us out here? What are we going to do? We're going to die. They're going to kill us. It's either the sea or it's the Egyptians, but either way, we're going to die. And Moses, who's also freaking out inside, is like, it's going to be fine. God is going to take care of you. But then turns around and goes, God, are you really going to do something? Because I'm struggling right now. God, I need a miracle right now. And it's probably my favorite response that God gives in the Bible. Because I don't know, it's the inner bluntness of me. I love what God says here. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. Doesn't hug them. Doesn't it's going to be okay. None of that. He says, why are you crying? Stop it. Move forward. I think if you had to carry on with that sentence, he would want to say to them, I've looked after you, I've loved you, I've pulled you out of Egypt, I've been helping you, I've been dealing with your complaints over and over again, but there comes a point now where I need to say, stop it. Stop crying out and start stepping forward. And you'll notice that the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea only happened when the Israelites were in motion. Some of us, we're wanting a miracle while staying static in our lives. And God says, the miracle is in your motion. The minute you get up and you step forward, you begin to see God working in your life. But we go, God, do it now. God says, move forward. Just take a step. Just step into a serving ministry. Just partner. Just start giving. Just start worshiping. Just start forgiving. Just start letting. And as you step, you'll begin to see God's blessing. We need to get up and move forward because Isaiah says this, remember not the former things. Remember not the former things because God is doing a new thing in your life. So how do we turn the page? We make a 1 cent decision every single day. We need to know our value. And simply, we need to get up and move forward. Amen. As we come to a close this evening, I read an interesting story the other day. How many of you know dealing with a failed romantic relationship can be a very difficult thing? You've got a lot of pain and emotions that you go through, and you've got a lot of memories. You start going, especially photographs. You look at photographs and you go, oh, it reminds me. So this company has been developed, and this company is called Edit My Ex. And what they do is you submit photographs to them, and they literally edit your ex out of the photographs. It's as if they were never there. So now when you look at the photograph, you're like, I remember that day in the park. I remember going to that movie. Who was I with again? Some of you are like, sorry, what was that website you were talking about? Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am the one who erases all your sin. For my sake, I will not remember your sin. You see, what we do is we come to God and we go, but God, how can you love me? How can you bless me? How can you want to save me? Can you not see what I've done? Can you not see what I've been through? Can you not see my past mistakes? Can you not see my failure? Can you not see all the stuff that I've done, God? And God goes, I can't, because I've erased your sin. I've erased your mistakes and you're the only one that's bringing forward to me because in Christ you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And when God looks at your life, he just sees you righteous because of what Jesus did by editing at the cross. He edit my ex. At the cross, he took your sin away. You see, most of us, we go, I need to get my life right before I come to God. God says you can't get your life right before you come to God so that he can edit your life into the place that you need to be.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.